Good morning, church. I would like to grab this opportunity to praise our living God for giving me this privilege to share His word to you. And also, I would like to give thanks to the pastoral team for allowing me to speak and give some updates regarding our missions work. And I just want to let you know that I'm here to do a testimony. Ingon pa ni Pastor Jojo. And some of you knew that I love to work behind the scenes, doing missions work in our communities, uniformed personnel, teachers, and campus ministry. So I'm not used to preaching on a pulpit because what I always do is share the gospel to the communities and pave ways for pastors or ministry workers to obey the Great Commission. And last Sunday, Dr. Stephen Guest preached about global missions. And so today we will focus on local missions. So as we continue, let's open our Bible in the book of Acts chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. Again, Acts chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. The word of the Lord says, "And Saul approved of his execution, and there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison." Let's pray. Lord, we praise and thank you, O God, for another time you have given to us to hear and study your word. May your message, O God, minister to each one, and may your holy presence be upon us all. Humble us, O Lord, and use your servant, Lord, as your mouthpiece to preach your word. May you teach us, rebuke us, correct us, and train us, O God, for righteousness. And may your name be lifted up, and you will be glorified in our midst, O Lord. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me quote Tony Rink from his book, God's Law in the Gospel Age. And he wrote, "In a given city, the local church is an epicenter of love." Let me repeat that again. In a given city, the local church is an epicenter of love. And so we, Living Word IT Park Church, is like we are in the city within the city. And this is my opportunity to share to you how our church overflowed love to our community and how God used us as a church to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound with our sins. And beginning in December 2017, our church did a Christmas outreach called Pasko sa Apas in Apas Gym. And this event was labored by almost the whole church, and that kicked off our missions work to Apas community. 3 weeks after that event, we also started our weekly Bible study with a number of 100 to 150 kids in just one community. And it's funny how our white shirts become brown shirts when we go up there, because children hug us, they cling to us, and climb on us as if we are trees. And later on, we fed them lugaw with the help of their parents who cook, and also with the financial support of our church. The place where we gather is Upper Panabang. It is called as the factory of children. Parents there are so busy with their own businesses, such as producing kids, gambling, smoking, drinking, and some were taking drugs, some with other personal activities. And so nobody takes care of these little ones. So as a church who has greatly received love from God, and it is our heart's desire and joy to overflow this love to these kinds of children. So as we continue this ministry, we face many challenges. We were rejected by some of the parents, but some welcomed us gladly. And by the help of God, we started Bible studies with those who welcomed us to their houses. At first, we started with one community, but when God saw that the missions team was already ready for expansion, He opened our neighboring communities. Before, we were only reaching out to the families of Barangay Apas, but now we are also reaching out to the families of Banilad and Lahug. And praise be to God, for He has allowed us to reach out to 5 communities from 3 barangays. And also, we had the opportunity to reach out not just only within our city, but to other city or province. And that last year, we did our first local missions trip in Badjan and Mualbual. We went there at the southern part of Cebu to train and help church leaders to start a children's ministry in their communities. This is exactly what the church is called to do, to love God and to love our neighbor. And I remember when Dr. Ang shared to me that it is the church's long-time desire to reach our community, our neighbors. And God has heard our prayers and opened so many doors for us to love our neighborhood community. It is God who opened our eyes to see the poor community that lies behind the youth buildings in IT Park. And it is His heart to save them with His gospel. And God did not just stop with the children. He knows that the young people in our neighborhood also need to be loved and reached out with the gospel. So, He opened an opportunity for us to do a campus ministry. The APAS Integrated National High School permitted us to minister to the students every Friday. But eventually, these students started to go to our church and continually went here every Friday. So the campus ministry vision is now to equip these faithful young people, and they will be the ones to radiate Christ's love among their classmates or shine the light of Jesus to their classrooms and reach them with the gospel. We are continually equipping them for this vision. Our church became visible to our neighborhood. And most of the time, they call us Living World sa IT Park, not the Living Word IT Park. Anyway, the teachers from the high school campus also notice that we are taking care of their students. So they ask us to minister to them too. And we are praying for more volunteers so they too can be ministered. And the Kamputhao Elementary School also asked us to minister to their teachers. And with the help of our senior women who are faithfully teaching and discipling them with the Word of God. My professor once said, the best way to evangelize the community is to plant a church. Just like if we keep catching fish from the ocean and never put them in a pond, they will eventually die. So as we keep on reaching out to the people outside, we should make sure that we have a place where they can be nurtured and discipled. Because that is the Great Commission, to go and make disciples, as what Matthew 28:18-20 says. Evangelism is just an entry point. The goal really is to make disciples, for them to be equipped and molded as a mature believer, lacking nothing. And after 3 years of service in the community, we had our first worship service gathering people from the community inside the elementary school of APAS. And eventually, God led us to start the Cebuano service led by Pastor Mac. And this Cebuano service or Cebuano church became the nurturing place of the adults and children that we reach out from the community. Oh, how heartwarming it is to see that our church is somehow becoming a home for them, a place where they are loved and valued. But wait, God is not done yet. One Sunday after I preached in the Cebuano service, a man asked me if I am willing to handle a Bible study. So I asked him where. He simply answered, inside the camp, in central command, among the soldiers. So I was a bit overwhelmed with this invitation. But again, God's word remind me to love God and to love our neighbor. And guess what? Bisaya's central command is literally our neighbor. So we started the Bible study with the permission from the leadership team, not to join the military, of course, but to disciple the military. So we have a lot of testimonies to tell about how God changed the soldiers in our Bible study group. And this is one of their stories that I would like to share to you. Sir Vincent has rendered many years as a soldier, and he was also a Christian for how many years, but his life didn't reflect that. There were many pastors who handled their Bible study, but there were no changes in his life. And his devoted Catholic wife saw how his faith did not match his life. This hardened her heart and did not want to become a Christian herself. In our Bible study, we talk about the gospel for how many months, and the Lord had brought so much change in Sir Vincent's life. God also used the changes that he experienced to soften the heart of his wife, who is now also our sister in Christ. From a devoted Catholic, and she is now a devoted believer and follower of Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. Indeed, it is a great opportunity to be in the front seats as we watch God changing their lives. And that is the beauty of the ministry. God's presence and power will be shown through changed lives. After almost a year of Bible study, we started our military Christian fellowship worship service. This happens every first Sunday of the month in Canlaon Hall, where the soldiers and their families gathered to worship our living God. And some of them were already assigned to different places, but I am confident that they are growing in Christ, for they cannot help but preach the gospel to the people around them. Like Sir Anthony Casinio, who is faithfully ministering to his fellow soldiers in summer camp, where he was transferred. And Sir Vincent Esunilio and Sir Maravilla, with brothers and sisters in the Lord, had started a Bible study inside the central command during this pandemic. Since we are not allowed to go inside the camp, they are the one who handles the Bible study, and there are about at least 20 men who join their weekly Bible study every Sunday afternoon. And also, God allowed us to reach out to the uniformed men and women in PNP, and we are currently ministering to them with our partner, the Bless Our Cups, and we are labeled as their life coaches. And they call our Bible study time as SWIM. It means Squad Weekly Interactive Meeting. At first few months, my groups call it as their Squad Weekly Interruption Meeting, because they are required to join, even if they like it or not. But because of our ongoing Bible study and through His Word, little by little, God is changing their hearts. Recently, during our SWIM, one official said, before joining SWIM, it's just for compliance of attendance. But now I join for my transformation. Now I can see him as a changing person. God is also changing the way he loves and cares for his family and his work. And praise God that we can still meet now via Zoom. Count Nicholas Zinzendorf, founder of the Moravians, once said, I have but one passion. It is he alone. The world is the field, and the field is the world. And henceforth, that country shall be my home, where I can be most used in winning souls for Christ. So friends, church, my brethren, I would like to remind you that our family is our mission field. Our community is our mission field. Our city is our mission field. And our country is our mission field. Wherever God puts you right now, that is your mission field. God has been using our church mightily, And He has been expanding our neighborhood. Now our neighborhood is not just Barangay Apas, but also the neighboring barangays. Not just the neighboring barangays, but also the whole Cebu City. And we can be most used in winning souls for Christ in our city and in our country. So let me quote this statement that every Christian, if we are going to be obedient to the Great Commission, must be involved in missions. But not every Christian is a missionary. So how can you be involved as a missionary or as not a missionary? First, you can be the one who goes down the well to voluntarily serve in the communities. Second, you can be the one who holds the rope for those who goes down the well by supporting them in prayer and finances. Or third, you can be just a spectator and disobey the Great Commission. So it's either you go down the well or you hold the rope for them or you disobey. Church, if our motivation for doing missions is because people are dying without hearing the gospel and they will spend the rest of their life from eternity to eternity in hell, then why is it hard for us to be involved in missions work? Maybe you might say, you're not a missionary. You're not a pastor. You're just a student. You're just a church member. And missions does not apply to you. And guess what? Jesus died on the cross for you to live for Him, so that you will be His witness in this fallen world, so that the love of Christ radiates through you in order to point people back to God. So therefore, radiate Christ's love as His witness. In Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." This statement was Jesus' correction to the disciples when they asked about the restoration of the kingdom of Israel. Jesus told them that it is not for them to know the times that God has appointed, but they will know when the Holy Spirit comes to them. Because the Holy Spirit will come with power that enable them to become witnesses for Jesus all over the world. Indeed, this happened literally. After the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, these disciples became active, radical, and effective witnesses of Jesus. They were very compelled to share the gospel in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. You know why? It's because of the Holy Spirit that is at work in them. He filled them and used them mightily for the expansion of God's kingdom here on earth. So church, why is it that most of the time we are not active nor compelled to share the gospel? And don't tell me that you don't have the Holy Spirit. Because the moment we responded in faith and repentance and surrender our life to Jesus, God granted us the salvation of our sins and gifted us with the holy presence and power of the Holy Spirit within us. And this power that we receive is the same power that enabled the disciples to share the gospel, to defeat demonic forces, and to perform wondrous works of the Lord. Or maybe it's time for us to ponder and honestly ask ourselves, have I truly responded in faith to the death of Jesus Christ on the cross? Have I truly repented of my sins and fully surrendered my life to Jesus? So church, if your honest answer is no, then do not delay. Behold, now is the time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Repent. Turn to Jesus and be saved. And it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can radiate Christ's love. And as we radiate Christ's love, we should expect persecution to come on our way. So now if you flip the chapter and the verse of Acts 1:8 becomes Acts 8:1. And that says, "And Saul approved of his execution," and this refers to the execution of Stephen. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And this event was a fulfillment of Acts 1:8 that says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Persecution came on the way of the disciples. Not just minor persecution, but great persecution. And by the way, this persecution caused them to scatter to different places. And as they were scattered, the Holy Spirit did not stop working in them. But He continually anoints them in preaching the gospel wherever they went. So God used this great persecution for them to be scattered and fulfill the Great Commission and to realize Acts 1:8. So radiating Christ's love is never easy, for it accompanies various kinds of persecution. In fact, one way to verify that you are obeying God's will is when you are facing persecution. Persecution should never surprise us in the mission field. Instead, we should expect them and prepare for them, for they will surely come. So if you are facing one right now, then rejoice, for it testifies that you are doing God's will. The disciples did not flee just because of persecution, but because they are also holding on to the promise that lies upon the obedience of the Great Commission that says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, Southeast Asia, Philippines, in Visayas, in Cebu, and to the ends of the earth." Yes, radiating Christ's love is never easy because of persecutions. But it is always full of hope because of God's presence. He is always with the people who obey the Great Commission. It is always worth all the sufferings because we go through all the pains with Him. And His very sweet presence gives us hope and strength to be faithful despite all the challenges. And by the way, we are hearing a lot of complaints from many believers that say, "I can't feel the presence of God." Brethren, maybe it's time to ask yourself, are you obeying the Great Commission? Are you missing the presence of God because of your disobedience or because of your apathy? Therefore, wake up. And do not miss God's presence. Don't be afraid to radiate His love because His presence will be your direct source of the love that you will pour out to the people around you. And it is because of His presence that in our church history, we can see that the more the church was persecuted, the gospel was also all the more being preached. The more believers died as martyrs, the other believers also become more radical in their faith. It was Him who faithfully strengthened and motivated them to press on. And His presence is already promised to you. But the question is, are you willing to be persecuted for the very purpose of making His name known wherever you are right now? Therefore, I want to remind you again that your job, your home, and wherever you are right now, that is your mission field. Radiate Christ's love, whatever circumstances you are at. Notice the phrase, "They were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria." And in verse 4 says, "Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word." By the way, the word "scattered" is from the original meaning "dia" and "sparrow," to sow throughout. And for example, figuratively, distribute in foreign lands, scatter abroad. And that's where we get the idea of working abroad or overseas Filipino workers. And in our study of missions, One of my best professors was Dr. Sadiri Joy Tira. His study is a paradigm shift for missions work. He focuses on the great opportunity we have as a church and as a citizen of our own country. The diaspora missions scattered to gather the diaspora people. And that he is referring to the people around us that came from different cities, different provinces, and different countries. Even just in our church, we are immensely culturally diverse congregation. And many of us came from different places in Philippines. Others are from Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao. And some of us came from different countries like Australia, Taiwan, Canada, China, and other countries. So the diaspora people are now within our neighborhood. And Dr. Sadiri wrote, in response to the demographic trends of the diasporas in the 21st century, we must recognize the immense potential in ministering to and through the diaspora people. The phenomenon of a large scale of diasporas provides new opportunities and challenges in missions practice. And there is now a new way of doing Christian missions, unhindered by geographical and cultural barriers. Christians can reach newcomers in their own neighborhood. Ministering to diaspora groups requires to embrace out-of-the-box strategies and non-traditional approaches. Emphasis must be placed on relationship building with migrants, holistic approach to challenges and opportunities, and kingdom partnership with like-minded organizations to achieve the common goal of the Great Commission. And by the way, the world today became borderless. And according to the Migration Agency, there are approximately 200 million diaspora people. And their number will be doubled in the next 10 years. Imagine that the unreached people who are coming from a distant, isolated places are now moving to our country, moving to our city, in our community, in our neighborhood, in our doorsteps. And so, no other time in the history of the church had we become as close as this to such a great opportunity in reaching out to different nations in our own neighborhood. Compared to what happened in the book of Acts, the disciples were scattered to preach the gospel all over Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and other places. But now, we have this great opportunity that these scattered people from different places come to our city to work, to study, to have vacation, and some even choose to leave. And just imagine inside the school of UC, UP, UEC, CITU, and other schools, how many students are from different places? Inside your office, how many people are from different cities or provinces or regions? Wow! Are you seeing this massive door of opportunity? When you reach out to them and disciple them, someday they will return to their homes as local missionaries, to their own family or community. We have Jamie or Yunting as an example for this. She went here to study and our church discipled and equipped her as a maturing believer. And now she is back to her own country, Taiwan. And she is currently ministering to her family and is actively serving in a church there. She now becomes a local missionary to her own family and country. Imagine, our church had reached out to Taiwan without even going there ourselves. What we have to do was just to be faithful in reaching out to the people around us. And of course, some are called to travel miles to do missions. And maybe in the future, you will be called to do that. But you don't have to wait. Just take few steps from your door right now. And you will face people from different nations, from your very own neighborhood. It could be a few feet apart from your office cubicle or office table. Just open your eyes. Look at the field. They are ripe for harvest. These ripe souls are waiting for you to approach them, talk to them, and share the love of Christ to them. Therefore, go and radiate Christ's love intentionally. And lastly, in verse 2 to 3, says, devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him, but Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. With such boldness and faith, Stephen was strongly compelled to preach the gospel to the Sanhedrin and the Jews. And this caused his martyrdom and triggered a great persecution to the church. And Stephen was stoned to death. And some men and women who believed in the gospel were also dragged out from their house and put to prison. So it was a devastating time that really affected the church. But if you go back to the previous chapter, there we can find a beautiful scenario of what happened to Stephen during that time. Beginning in verse 54 says, now, when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they grounded their teeth at him. But he, referred to Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus was standing at the right hand of God, and he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This scenario is heart-wrenching, yet a beautiful message of hope and assurance for believers who stand in their faith even to the point of death. We all know that Stephen is the first martyr recorded in the history. Before Stephen died, notice of this, he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. This event assures us that Jesus is alive. Jesus died on the cross, resurrected, and was ascended to heaven. Stephen died not just because of his faith and his boldness for the gospel, but it is to affirm that Jesus is waiting for him and waiting for all of us because Jesus is alive. What compels us to share the gospel to people? It's because we know that those who believe and respond in faith and repentance will see and experience the glory of God, and they will see God face to face. And in verse 59 to 60 says, and as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He fell asleep is a Christian expression to reflect and assure us of our future resurrection. People thought that Stephen's death would end the Christianity and would end the spreading of the gospel. But they had no idea about how the gospel would spread according to God's plan. And through his death, the scattering of believers was fulfilled and they preached the gospel of Christ wherever they were scattered. And all of us don't like difficulties, right? We want our life to be comfortable without any problems. But all of us also know that this is not just possible. We all go through difficulties in life, but remember that God has a purpose for everything that happens to us. And His purpose will always be for His glory. And whatever that gives glory to Him is surely what is good for us. And right now, because of the pandemic, some of us are depressed, stressed, anxious, and losing our hope. Brethren, if you are experiencing one of those, take heart and know that you are in God's hand. No matter how hard is your situation right now, always know that we can use our difficulties to open opportunities to radiate Christ's love to others. Due to the pandemic that we are experiencing right now, all of our missions work are surrounded with limitations. But these limitations should not stop us from finding ways to still reach out to people, because the enemy is also not being stopped by this pandemic. Satan is taking advantage of our situation right now to destroy us, to destroy every believers, every family, God's people. So as we stand up to continue in serving God, He will open doors of opportunity for us to reach more souls that desperately need Him. And before the pandemic, most of us busy with work and don't have much time with our families. Now we have more time together with our family. And this is an opportunity for you to reach out and disciple your children, your siblings, or your spouse. So let's not waste the difficulties that we are experiencing right now. So let's use this to lift up the name of Jesus, to radiate Christ's love to them. So let me end with this last update of how our church became a blessing to our country. In the month of June, just this year, we have started our online counseling ministry that we call Soul Care Ministry. And through this online counseling, we have ministered to people from Manila, Bohol, Leyte, Negros, and some of the provinces of Cebu and within Cebu City. They have all unique stories that I never thought I would hear firsthand. So as I end, I will share to you one of their stories. With her permission, let me share to you her story. Let's just call her by the name of Anne. Anne is a mother of two daughters and one son. Her husband worked as a local painter of small houses or small projects. Anne is 45 years old, and in many years, she struggled with insomnia and suicidal tendencies because of anxiety and depression. She wanted her to end her life every day. And one day, she heard about our Soul Care Ministry through the radio station 98.7 DYFR. She got our number and texted us. Without hesitation, we responded to her desperate and needy soul. So to cut the long story short, Anne wanted us to counsel her daughter, who was raped at the age of 4 by her own grandfather. And so this issue troubled Anne, and we only did our counseling through phone calls. So I didn't see her face or her emotion, but I have heard her every cry. And after 40 minutes of letting her speak, I noticed that the issue here wasn't her daughter, but Anne herself. After asking a series of questions, she finally confessed that she was also raped by her own father when she was 3 years old. The man who raped her daughter is the same man who raped her many times. Her father was able to do this by dragging her to sleep, and she just wakes up with different clothes on her room. Her father is a member of an occult group that practices sexual activity with children, so as part of their worship to Satan. So he completely sees his actions not as sin, but as a worship to Satan. And what's worse is his sons are also members of this occult group and are also following his footsteps. I never encountered this story before. And when I heard this, I just keep myself strong and held my tears and emotion, but deep inside, I can feel her pain and sadness. And after 4 counseling sessions over the phone, God is tremendously changing her heart and healing her to see the beauty behind the pain. And this is what she said, and I quote, "Salamat kaayo ninyo, Pastor. Sa tanan nga pangabudlay ninyo, I'm so very grateful for all your kindness and support even though you're really not knowing who am I." She said, "Kung kabalo lang mo, unsa ko kamalipayon nga nakaila og kamo ang mga tao nga gigamit sa Dios nga instrument para matubag ang akong burden sa kinabuhi." This is just one of the restoration stories from the biblical counseling ministry. Radiate Christ's love as His witness. And as we do this, we should expect persecution to come on our way. It will never be easy, but it will be full of hope because of God's presence. So don't let bad circumstances hinder you to radiate His love. Put it in remembrance that despite of how sinful we are, because of the richness of God's mercy and His extravagant grace, He intentionally reached to us by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for the forgiveness and the payment of our sins, and to grant us salvation. So therefore, radiate Christ's love intentionally, because when we do, God gets the glory and we get the joy. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful and thankful, Lord, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sake. We have nothing to boast of who we are because we are sinful, and never a single amount of works could please you. But what enables us to glorify your name, it's because of what Jesus did on the cross, who stands as a propitiation for our sins. And not only for us, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so, Lord, we continually ask for your mercy to extend to all people, that they too will be saved and experience your mercy, your grace, and your love. And as your chosen people, Lord, we thank you for giving us such opportunity to enjoy this presence of yours. And may your presence continually strengthen us and motivate us to be a channel of blessings in order to radiate your love to the people around us. And may your name be glorified throughout this life you've given to us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.